you're saying.
Yes, fire key, give thanks to life. Another reason.
Seriously, vibration. We are here again, Ballhead and the Dread. We are here giving thanks for the ability to give thanks. Fire, what reason about today?
Well, today we are reason about if a marriage can survive with a financial irresponsible spouse. And I feel like it's a topic where only for people can relate to.
Well, I'm going to ask you first. Do you think, I personally don't think it can, right? And I'll explain myself why.
Yeah.
But do you think that a marriage or a relationship, a steady relationship, can survive, right?
Yeah.
Can get past the finish line if a spouse is financially responsible? And I want to be clear, it's not a, because I know a lot of times before you start, when we talk about the spending, we default directly to the woman. And a lot of times the men are terrible with the finances also, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily in regards to conspicuous consumption, but in regards to failure to pay for the things that need to be paid for in regards to rent, car, fire. Some people just don't pay their rent, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, like they just don't pay their bills on time.
Yeah.
And these type of things. So do you think a relationship can survive?
Yeah, see, the word survival is
thrive.
Yeah, all right. If a relationship can thrive, no. It can survive, yeah. Yes.
All right.
Because a whole bunch of relationship right now survive with financial irresponsible people. So but I feel like when it comes to thriving, no, because it will lead to too much gaps and the relationship can't function in a timely manner. Remember, you know, we live within the system.
Yeah.
Tell people all the time. Within the system, you can't go without money. You can't go without finances. And in order for your household to run properly, it have to run with proper and steady finances. And I don't even, I mentioned, say, many even people now pay them rent and stuff. It's not even just about not paying rent, you know. It's also about not paying rent on time.
Yeah.
Not paying the bills on time. Not buying the groceries on time. So much different things. You have children, not taking care of your children things on time, because that now lead to a different chain reaction and stop the youth future from going to the right path where it needs to go to. So my answer is no, it can't strive. If a person within the relationship is financially irresponsible, but it can survive. And survival, as we know, survival is
not
nothing.
I think a lot of people have this almost like a myth in regards to what can be done in a relationship.
Yeah.
Because remember, when we're talking about financial spending, we're talking about a person itself.
Yeah.
You're asking a person to change their being. And I think that's kind of unrealistic,
yeah,
and unfair to the person because they are who they are. I think the proper thing has to be a conversation prior. You mm-hmm. know, I think, and I don't think you need to go to a counselor to do this, but I think if you made a decision to be committed to a particular person, you need to clearly state or clarify spending habits. And also, more than anything, Farrah, we need to see that financial documentation. Because what I've been hearing a lot, not just from the brothers and the sisters also, is that student loans, for example.
Yeah.
They don't tell you what they have in student loans. But especially after you get married now, you hear this number like, bro,
mm-hmm.
they owe 70, 80, 150. But that's not the problem. The problem is they're looking for you to assess with them. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's the problem in the sense that they have this idea because it wasn't communicated and it wasn't clearly stated what's going on.
No, it's a union, so it's supposed to be one.
Because it's ours, right?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden now it's like they believe and they're holding you responsible for helping them with this debt that you didn't even know about.
Yeah.
Now, it was different if they told you ahead of time and it's like, yes, you clearly stated, yes, I will help you, right? But it's always that assumption. Assumption be mashing up relationships too, yeah? This assumption thing. People always assuming stuff and not communicating. And I think the greatest assumption in relationships, there are a lot of assumptions, but one of the most detrimental ones comes to the finances.
Yeah.
People not clear and people aren't front on their spending habits. You may, especially if you don't live with a person, because you can stay the night, you can hang out with them, but when you live with them, you get to really see, like, bro, they really be shopping, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? Or they eat out every night. They don't cook. You got people eat out for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah.
Even if you keep it around 10, which you can't these days, that's at least $45 a day. Mm-hmm. That's 450, 900.
The farthest just round that idea right is still so unrealistic. Round
that up to $1,300, and that's unrealistic, right? So just say $1,500, and if you actually go out to eat, put that at $2,000.
You know, something I notice is this, right? A person can tell you that they're mature from now till tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the concept of a financial conversation, every maturity is out the door, because most people don't like the whole financial conversation. It's just something about finances that people shy away from.
All right, what's the term they call it when it's a topic we don't want to talk about? It's a term they use, man. It's a certain topic. Oh, man. I don't know. Nonetheless, for whatever reason, it's very uncomfortable for people to speak about their finances. They get very defensive, too. When it comes to the finances.
Especially if a suggestion is made for change a particular habit.
Yeah.
People strong-minded about that, too.
People don't want to hear it. Yeah. And it's funny enough, man, because that's what I want to talk about in regards to, if you're trying to work with a person.
Yeah.
Right. I wrote down three steps. Right. Yeah. So say you are trying to keep the relationship going and you have the hopes that the person. I think the first thing the person has to acknowledge, they have an issue managing their finances. Like they have to acknowledge and say, yo, I see what you're saying. I struggle with my finances. Right. And I think that's a great sign, either from a male or a female, because that shows accountability. I think like that's the first step for a person to show accountability. Right. Second step I wrote here is that what is their root cause? I think this is the most important part. This is the issue I have with most financial advisors, that they don't talk about the insecurity and the emotional issues that's going into your spending habits. Mm-hmm. They just break it down in regards to, like, you have to start doing this, but there are other things that's pushing you to spend in that manner.
Mm-hmm.
So a person who wants to change, right, mm-hmm. what is the root cause of your spending habits? Like, why are you spending like this? You know what I'm saying? Like, what is going on inside, whether it's childhood or whether it's insecurity, whether it's staying with the Joneses, like, what is causing you to do something? Because you're actually harming yourself. It's self-harm. In our reality, fire, you know what I'm saying? It's self-harm. So it's like, if you're harming yourself and you want to be healthy, because we talk about your mental health, your spiritual health, and there is a thing called financial health. Because when your financial health is in turmoil, don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. That's going to bleed into the other aspects. So if you're doing something that's harmful to yourself, it's like, bro, you have to really get down and see, like, was it you didn't have things as a child? You know, are you trying to compare? Are you trying to stay up with people? Is it a lot of times it's like a medication in a sense, like Robitussin or a pill. They need to shop. You know, like they feel away, so I have to shop. And what's harder now is prior, the older generation who had it, they call it shop therapy or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my mom's, my grandmother, I saw it firsthand, shop therapy. My grandmother told me when she got access to credit in America was the worst thing ever happened to her. Worst thing. Granny G told me that straight. But what happens now is that you can partake in shop therapy on your couch,
mm-hmm.
on the toilet,
not even
in your bed.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's even more, because it's like you don't have that time, that you don't got to get up, you don't got to go somewhere, and like it's always there too. That's the thing. It's not even like they don't have your shirt. You go there like they don't have a large. They're going to have a large.
Definite.
So it's a problem.
And you see, the thing when we think about finances in relationship, it's a hard compromise for most people. And you know why it's a hard compromise? Because that I touched upon it too is like, what is a need versus a want? You see, my need could be different from my spouse's need and my spouse's wants. So you realize, say, while me could get, just an example. Say, example, say you get two different type of cornflakes or cereal, two different type of cereal every single time we go shop. But that person realize, say, we only eat a cereal that we buy 16 ounces of cereal, but we only eat 8 ounces of cereal every month. And then we realize we have to throw away the rest. But that person, feeling like that is a need, because going to the grocery store for ever since, them always get two different types, so them have an option to a certain extent, not realizing that what their spouse is telling them is the accurate thing, because if you only use 8 ounces, why would you buy 16? So you have to give and take. But to most people now are ready to make that compromise, because why would I compromise something that I've been used to? something that didn't seem like a problem to me at all. Or, as a matter of fact, something that wasn't a problem to me at all before you came into my life. so you understand. So it's like almost like it's not a problem from my end and not a problem with me managing finances. It's a problem to you. My need is a problem to you. So automatically that's how it's internalized in somebody's brain. And right from that particular instance, now you realize, say, okay, it's not that I'm mismanaging my finances. It's that you have a problem with the way I put my finances together. So you see, that is one of the biggest problems when we realize when it comes to the whole relationship thing and finances.
And you just brought up a fundamental issue in regards to compromise and seeing things from, because both people have to see things from both sides in the sense that the person who's struggling with the finances, we have to kind of see where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, they have to be open enough to see where, instead of just getting defensive and cutting off, they have to see where you're coming from in regards to the rationale.
The reality, not even just where we are coming from, the reality.
The reality of it.
Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to touch on one point, but I want to do the third thing in regards to, you remember I was saying,
mm-hmm.
If you can stay in a relationship, working on correcting it.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause acknowledging it is a big thing. That accountability aspect, but actually working on it. Because sometimes people give thanks if they get to that point. Some people don't even get to the first point.
It's true.
But if you get to the third point, which is significant other, and they actually start working on it, I think they should be applauded, be patient with them, and look for consistency.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And if you get to that point, I think the relationship has hope to work.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't get to that point, you just took an L. Because that's what the person does.
A reality.
You know, and it's another thing I want to say, too, I think. Peer pressure has always been a key in regards to people overspending.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that social media now has played a tremendous role. And I'll say why. Something basic. It's not even the fact of being like an influencer or but just a person who posts consistently. I hear things, right? I heard, like, people take pictures. They don't want to wear the same clothes. They don't want to be seen in the same clothes and the same shoes, right? So if you're consistently posting and people are consistently looking, you're consistently buying new things that maybe you can't afford.
Yeah.
So that could create an issue. Amazon, there are a lot of jokes. I was on YouTube Shorts. I went down a rabbit hole on YouTube Shorts the other day too. I ain't gonna lie to you. I was watching one black comedian, then I went some other stuff, but I noticed there were videos with women with this Amazon thing. This is the joke. They got these Amazon videos like, I'm shopping on Amazon and hiding. They're making a joke out of it, but it's a serious situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know, my husband can't pay the bills and they still shopping. They're making a joke out of this situation.
Yeah.
All right, you saw that stuff. And obviously, I guess a lot of people can relate to it, but it's not a funny situation. So what's comical about being under financial stress? Knowing that your spouse no longer has any money, you're putting these things on credit.
Because I remember most, all right, see for most of them, most people is a feeding into a thing like the whole stereotype. Everybody feed into a stereotype. Okay, women love to shop, men don't really care about none.
Hold on, before you continue, what do you think about that? I think that stereotype is, as the young people say, is cap. I think it's BS, bro. Yeah. I think in this modern time, I think men, not all, but a lot of dudes out here shopping. Yeah.
So what I've seen recently, Larry, we see recently, they have a conversation about this the other day. I agree with you.
Yeah.
But when we realize it's still to me, I call it as it is. I say most of the women, them have become more responsible. So I realize that most of them spending is towards like household items and different things with them, things that they're going to need. I say a whole heap of women overdo it, you know.
Yeah.
Even though in the realm of even house, them still overdo it because in order for them it is supposed to be progressive, so them overdo it. You know, the whole attribute of people doing something so much that them start to overdo
this thing
they're supposed to do and go outside of them budget and outside of them realms. But when we see with this man thing, we realize that the whole hype thing increase when it comes to men of lately, and men start give credence towards this whole image, concept of image, even more than women, when once upon a time it was women who mostly pay attention to the image. So I'm going to say more men actually buy things and then realize that when we compare the buying, the purchases of men compared to women of lately, the purchases of women seem more realistic, it seem more in accord to me than when me say the purchases I mean in a free cent, and it's not something where me really like. Me personally don't think of something where I like when me I say, because when I really question the thing, when I think there is a justification for it besides just, as you mentioned, taking pictures, maintaining that image, so to speak.
I think the men are also suffering from social media if they're on there, right? Yeah. Because, as I said, a man don't want to wear the same shirt every day, you know, because that's not up to the standard. But
social media is a pimping ground now. So yeah, when you maintain the image, you probably can get two extra DM.
Yeah, you know? And the thing is that they spend stuff on different things, right? So for instance now, Ferrari, I had a Brazilian tell me, I am not Brazilian, but a person told me he went on a trip, right? I don't know if I told you the story. They went on a trip to Vegas, right?
Yeah.
Like a group of people, and they were saying how they were like trying to put their money together, like buy bottles. And these are things I'm saying in regards to these things that they do, the going out, the bar, you know, other things that they purchase, they overdo on that they're not necessarily using or benefiting from.
Yeah.
So it's just a different type of purchasing. And then when we deal with purchasing, we mostly focus on like clothes for the women or jewelry, that type of vibe. But even like men, you have men every day, they got the new updated cell phone.
Yeah.
Not the woman, the man. And I want to burn a fire on this cell phone right now, because what I've learned is that, or what I've observed for years, this is from StarTech and Nextel and all these phones and BlackBerry. Listen, if you're not in business, you need to get the basic phone with internet, because all you're doing is taking pictures, taking videos, texting an email. You don't need anything else. You don't need to be that reliable. You need to be reliable for voice and text. That's it.
So the ones in all, the
in all reality, you know, the sneakers, this is a thing too. You go to a man place, the man got 1,000 sneakers up on the wall piled up. Not cheap sneakers either.
Yeah.
So it's not like me and you go buy a sneaker ourselves for $50 or $40 or. Now I'm talking about $300 sneakers.
Yeah.
You got 10 of those sitting down, that's $3,000. And he make $1,500 every 2 weeks. He make $2,000 every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Car, that's a. If I don't get me started on a car, some of these car notes out here are ridiculous.
It's an ego trip. It's an ego trip. When the ego trip, as we mentioned, about the whole relationship thing. You see, ego, all right, the ego trip is a thing, it mash up relationships, you know. Yeah. But
on both sides.
And the reason why it's so connected to this particular topic, because we talk about finances, and the most time ego trip come in is when it related to finances, you know. Especially if a person go earn something outside of the scope of what them usually earn, that make it even worse.
Yeah, they want to show the earth.
They want to show the earth. Say,
and go back to broke.
This is what is going on.
It's like people rushing to go back to being broke. Yeah,
that is the whole thing. And you see, what we get for notice too is that when we talk about even financial irresponsibility, you know. So we touch one aspect of it, and about there's one aspect we want to talk about. Your financial irresponsibility can always seem like it's okay not knowing how to manage money and all of that. But then there's this other aspect where financial irresponsibility of you wanting that one person to spend while you're not spending. So even if you're not a spendthrift who buy unnecessary things, we talk about the balance, the lack of balance within the relationship where the spending is coming from one end.
Well, you have the access and you want to exploit.
You want to exploit. So that exploitation.
I want to, you know what's funny, man? I hear this conversation. I'm not trying to go off topic, but I hear a lot of time about this equity and relationships and all this. And it just seems so biased. Like when it comes to the finances, it just seems like when the man is making more money, I want to be clear.
Yeah.
When the man is making more money, it seems as if the man's paying majority of the bills. Yeah. So where's the equality? I thought people want this equality they always talk about.
It's our next topic that they're touching us still. We don't have in mind for the next topic.
No, but seriously though, because like it's all these rights and equality, so let's get equal on these bills.
It's equal usually, only when it benefit.
Usually when, and please leave a comment if I'm wrong, usually if the man makes equal or more, right, he's paying majority of the bills.
Yeah.
And that's facts.
Yeah.
So I just think if we're talking about equality, we need to get to equality with these finances.
You know, I'm at the airport recently, and a woman and her spouse have some disagreement,
which
I can't believe, almost like two child. two children, and but she said something very, very, very interesting, and it's still in my brain. She said, he's talking like he's a man when he doesn't even pay all the mortgage. When growing up, all of my uncles and my dad paid the whole mortgage by themselves. That's what a man does. See, up to this day.
That's like five different discussions based on what she just said. Yeah, so publicly saying that.
She publicly said that.
Carrying on.
She a disagreement to her, I suppose. So it just got to verify what I said, because.
And that aspect is manhood is tied to that. But in other aspects now, we want different treatment.
Different treatment.
Yeah. Different argument fire. We don't want to go too far on this side. But the gist of the thing is, people listening, if you're not too deep into a relationship, there's definitely some serious conversations you want to have.
Very true.
And I do recommend paperwork. She needs to show you her credit report. Mm-hmm. I would like to see your credit card statement. It's not a crazy question to ask. Because when you get too deep in the thing, you're going to get,
And then them time they start questioning.
$7,500 if we work. I'd be like, bro, you didn't tell me that before.
Yeah.
So I think that needs to be a conversation people need to have moving forward. And if you don't feel no way when you find out a person got $100,000 in debt. Because debt don't look no way fire. That's the thing. Debt, you know, when people think about debt, they think about some man with some cup. And y'all dry. No, that look clean.
Clean, man.
They Fox. Probably the cleanest ones out here.
Fox.
The one that get the most worship, they got the Fox. Most debt. They got the most toys and the cleanest clothes.
Fox.
So if you're trying to be real out here and be responsible and really set yourself up, it's an easy conversation. If a person doesn't want to disclose, it's okay to hit them with a peace sign. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
And if it is bad, you guys have to make a agreement how you're going to approach it and what's your role. What is my role in paying this down? You know?
That's very important to be, because you see, the openness of somebody for change, that very crucial towards the direction of the relationship, you know? Because it's one thing for say, okay, you have 100,000 debt, but it's a next thing for not acknowledge the concept of, okay, this is something bad, I need to change this thing, and then me being in a relationship with somebody now, this person is tied to this particular debt. Let me be cognizant of the fact that it's not me alone, and I can't drag this whole relationship down due to this debt. So being open is a next part of the thing where we have to really, really be careful after. So, yeah.
Now, a serious thing, the last thing I want to say is that, tying to what you were saying, Farai, if the person says yes, but they're continuing to spend in a way that got them in that position.
Yeah. Red flag.
Red flag. Serious thing. Listen, we give thanks for everyone tuning in from those times till now.